72.0 EDG 01150720260843 Audio. Back to basics. How to empty a rocket's outer casing to transform it into a habitable module. Fuel and oxidizer tanks occupy a significant amount of space inside a rocket. In addition, there are the propellant pressurization tanks. A preliminary approach to emptying the inner casing of rockets in space had already been attempted. We're talking about long-duration tanks, and by working together to achieve orbit, this might be possible. This scenario more or less considered the preservation of the rocket engines or modules once in space. From our perspective, which prioritizes safety, the engines must be retained. Too powerful? No, a nozzle is a nozzle, modulating valves are modulating valves, and in the worst case scenario, a specialized nozzle could be installed inside the original rocket nozzles, or modules. Therefore, the rocket must be vented through its nose, not the engine nozzles. We also believe that the main design challenge will be the shape of the internal tanks. Why? Simply because they will need to be removed, and ideally repositioned, for recycling purposes for the entire SSV. On Earth, the fuel tank is located at the base of the rocket, and the oxidizer tank at the top. This arrangement is related to the volume and weight of the propellants. Put more simply, consider the rocket's center of gravity. We have two options: first, to completely empty the rocket's interior, and second, to have staggered tanks and retain only the volume necessary for the SSV's movement in space. The term staggered is currently used in a broad sense, for those who are wondering. The second scenario is based on the possibility of using several tanks for the same propellant, which can work synergistically. This scenario should be prioritized, in our opinion. Let's imagine the following scenario: the rocket has been cut near the top of the oxidizer tanks. This tank is round and will be used as a reserve outside the SSV. The fuel tank was designed like old record players. Imagine several cylinders flattened on themselves and connected by tubes. The problem lies here: how many tubes will be needed to connect the tanks? I don't know. Can the pressure drop caused by each of these tubes be compensated for the high-speed expulsion of propellants from the rocket? I still don't know. One thing is certain: before you can solve a problem, you have to at least identify it. Using long cylinders seems like an easier approach than a record player type arrangement. But easier for whom? For the designers or those who will have to work in space. You might think I'm looking for simplicity. You're right, that's exactly the case. There's another possibility, perhaps even safer: using external rocket tanks for orbital insertion only. This approach could allow for greater internal movement of the rocket when it's transformed into a module in space. This comment has significant implications. Let's imagine another scenario: a module with a substantial internal movement. Around the module's perimeter, several rockets with diameters slightly smaller than those of the SSV's engines. A release of these booster rockets at a predetermined altitude, and in a carefully planned sequence to prevent collisions with the future module, is possible, according to our assessment. I believe we've found the right approach, and that's the one we need to pursue. The choice of the two remaining options will be discussed in the next section. That's all for now. Pierre Michaud, PMI. Father of Gabriel and Stephen Michaud, victims of abduction in September 2007. The current date is July 15, 2026.